Yeah, going in cold to a movie sometimes is
yep.
a lot of fun. Kind of like this one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get started.
Let's just get started.
Hey, this is Tony.
And this is David.
And we are the Backseat Producers. And that could have been easier for me to get out.
Tony, did you just go to bar trivia and then get real drunk because you can walk to the bar?
I did not, but man, that sounds fantastic.
Well, that's only one of us.
Yep. There used to be a place that was, like quarter mile, maybe at the most from my folks' house when I was still living there. They did karaoke and just like it was fantastic. It was perfect stumbling distance, like, because you could get real drunk, mm-hmm. and still make it home. And it was a straight shot, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I just got turned on to this trivia night at this bar. And it's like the bar I usually like to go to trivia for is also walking distance. So, but it's very crowded. And this is more like a hipster bar. That is a lot less crowded, and I know the chick who does the trivia.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Sounds like bonuses all around.
Mm-hmm. And double bonus, Matt randomly showed up.
Nice.
Not Cushman, the other one.
Yep.
Just randomly showed up.
Well, he did comment on your post.
He did, but he was asking about going to the food truck thing I also went to.
Oh, okay. So,
surprised me of the trivia, and I was like, oh, hey, what the shit? And he's like, hey, let's do some fucking trivia. I haven't seen you in 2 years. Like, god damn it.
Nice.
It has been 2 years. Oh my god.
Well, I mean, 18 months of that was the pandemic.
Yeah, but the other 6 months weren't.
Fair.
So we did all right. We did a little better than half.
Depending on the mix of questions that can be good or bad. Yeah. How many people did you have?
Just us three. We did slightly better than when I was on my own, but I think that was just the mix of questions.
Yeah. Oh, is that better? It's a little better.
I like trivia nights.
Yeah.
Yeah. This place is a blood orange beer.
Hmm. Mm.
It's horrendous for the heartburn, but god damn, is it good.
Yeah. I would give that one a shot.
Because that citrus is definitely just going to be eating through my esophagus later.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that. So, another round.
Another round.
What did you think?
So overall, I liked the movie, but not very strongly.
Okay. This movie was a fucking ride.
It was a ride.
Like a ride that I did not expect when it started. Like, given the first 10 to 15 minutes of the movie, I did not expect this movie to go the places that it went.
Mm-hmm.
Because it went in some unexpected directions.
It went some unexpected directions. What I was trying to work out, about midway through was why this director was nominated for the film.
The director was nominated for the film?
Yeah, so he was nominated for Best Director.
Really?
Yeah, but the film was not nominated for Best Film. None of the actors were nominated for any awards. Yeah, no, I actually looked this up and I was like, oh shit. This dude was actually nominated for Best Director this year for this film. Yeah.
Wow. That's
because it didn't seem to me, and like, because I knew that he had been nominated, I specifically was looking for, like, you know, the directoriness, the quality of the directoriness of the movie specifically to work out why he'd been nominated. Like, I understand why the dude who directed Mank was nominated. What's his face?
Yeah.
Like, I understand why he was nominated, because, like, you know, there's an artistic...
David Fincher.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
There's an artistic package there.
He's got a lot of clout behind him, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's also got style. He's got an artistic style that is a package in a way that you can feel it's a David Fincher movie.
Yeah.
Right. Like yeah. you know, and like a lot of the creative decisions that he makes, you know, are decisions he's considered and made purposely, like with an intent in mind. But I was looking at that with this film and I was having a hard time like getting it. And it's not to say that the movie is bad or not poignant in some ways, but it didn't feel like, as you can imagine, I think Mads Mikkelsen should be nominated for awards just in general.
Sure.
Because he was very good in the movie.
He was fantastic. Yeah.
As he always
100%.
Is.
Yeah, 100%. He was great.
The man is a blessing.
Yep.
But I couldn't put my finger on what thumbprint Vinterberg added to the movie that was award worthy. I don't think he won.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, he did not win. But the movie itself was nominated for Best International Feature mm-hmm. Film. Yeah. And it won.
Which I don't know what the other.
Here, I've got him. I just happen to have it pulled up. Better Days is a Hong Kong film. Collective, a Romanian film. The Man Who Sold His Skin is a Tunisian film. Which, by the way, when we were looking up movies just a few minutes ago to watch, I did see this movie go past on Hulu. I didn't realize it was nominated.
I might watch that. That sounds like a good...
That, yeah. You know what? We'll just make that the one for the week after.
Sold.
And then...
Because the trailer looks weird.
Quo Vadis Aida is a Bosnian-Herzegovinian movie.
Whoa. I got some Bosnian pals who have emigrated away from the United States.
Gee, I wonder why they would have done that.
Well, not to get too much into his backstory, but he was a refugee to Germany and then a refugee from Germany to America when Germany was like, all right, Bosnians, time to get the fuck out. You've been here for too long.
Hey, Rob.
Rob.
Yeah, so let's do that as the movie for the week after.
Hell yeah. You're going to have to remind me of that because I'm definitely not going to remember.
That's fine. I'll probably will forget also. Wait a minute. Excellent. I'm in Hulu right now. Let me go ahead and add these movies to my watch list.
Okay, so we're not recording next week. Everybody.
Wait a minute. We're not?
Go ahead and strap in, everybody, while I take care of some calendaring. Are we recording next week?
I can.
Oh, then yes, I also can.
I can for the next 2 weeks. It's the 2 weeks following that I am questionable. I'm definitely out for one of those, probably out for the other one.
What was the movie for next week?
It is The People versus...
Oh, yeah. That's
I'm sorry, The United States versus Billie Holiday.
States versus...
And I've just added that to my Hulu watch list.
Hulu... I can even put it in the title. Hot dog. And then you said you're out for the 7th or the 14th? 7th,
The
definitely.
14th.
Okay, 14th, definitely.
7th, I'm in, 14th, definitely out because we are out of town then.
Okay.
I will be back in town on the 21st. But you know what? I believe at this point we have soft plans to see Black Widow while we're out of town. So.
You want to just... Well, soft plan on Black Widow for the 21st.
Yep. Works. Yep.
Black Widow, comma, soft. I won't remember what I meant by that when I look at this on my calendar.
It'll be great.
I'll be like, well, Black Widow, looking at Black Widow does not make me soft.
That's yeah, right?
God, sure.
Okay, so.
Hot let's, damn.
Let's dive into this movie.
Dive on in.
I did not know what to expect.
Me neither.
So I believe the reason we watched this movie is because you saw, was it an image or a video of Mads?
I saw
looking joyous.
I saw a picture of him looking joyous, but previously in the day I had seen mention of a Mads Mikkelsen dance number. And I was like, I would watch the shit out of that. And unbeknownst to me, this movie featured many things other than that, but did also include that at the end.
Yeah. Like when you said, because I do believe you said something to the effect of that he was dancing about and looking joyous.
And can you tell me I was wrong?
No, I cannot. But I got, you know, 80% away through the movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I have not seen this scene yet. And it's looking like I'm not going to, based on where we were at about the 80% mark. I mean,
80% mark, it's a uphill climb.
It would be that would have been a hard uphill climb to get to that point. Mm-hmm. I described this movie to Julie as these four guys who are teachers, all work within the school. Mm-hmm. They're all going through like various phases of like their midlife malaise. Mm-hmm. And it's not even like a midlife crisis. It's like midlife malaise. It's like they have like their lives are just kind of ground to a standstill.
Because you hear about the midlife crisis a lot, but I think there's a second crisis that people don't acknowledge. And that's like once you fall into the rut, but like it's not acknowledged, but like it's kind of anticlimactically referenced in the same way that like there's nothing wrong, but like the routine is real boring.
It's almost like that rut manifests the crisis for some people.
Yep.
And that's kind of like the point we're at for these four guys who are in different stages of their life and have different things all going on, which bring them to the point of that malaise. But then is brought up by one of them. And I can't remember which one now, cause I was reading at the time.
It was Nicolaj.
Okay. He brought up this idea that the human body mm-hmm. needs 0.05% more alcohol in your blood system to make you human? More fulfilled.
Yeah.
Like something. More fulfilled as a human. It's a little dicey. The science there. It's
super dicey.
And the science there is. Too. It's Yeah. The science there is dicey.
Yeah.
But they're like, all right, that sounds good. Let's try that. Mm-hmm. And it's Mads' character that tries it first.
Mads commits.
He does. Like he goes full on. He gets the breathalyzer.
He pushes the envelope. So all four of these dudes are school teachers. So I expected this to go in a lot of directions. But since it's not an American film, it didn't go in the directions I thought it was going to.
That's fair.
Like, if it was an American film, I figured we would get more fall down drunk scenes and less scenes about them exploring alcohol. I'm not going to say scientifically, but like intentionally.
Therapeutically.
Yeah.
That was their intent. I believe that was the intent.
It feels like that was just a thin veneer of a story that everybody was.
It's the lie they were all telling themselves.
Yeah. It, like even them going the step further in which they took notes to submit for the scientific thing.
Yeah.
It feels like everyone in the room is like, okay, this is how we justify this to... This is how we say we're not alcoholics.
Right. Yeah, even though, clearly you are.
Even though clearly that's what's happening here.
In fact, the point when they finally mention alcoholism is very, very late in the movie.
Yeah.
And I didn't think of it that way, really, until it's mentioned in the movie at that point. I think just because I've been on the journey with them and I didn't see it quite that way until things do start going badly. They do start slipping up. Their lives start falling apart because of it.
So for me, they staved off what I would consider actual alcoholism for a while, because the way it's presented is that the experiment they're running is that they're only going to maintain the 0.05 during the work hours, like right. Hemingway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that the quality of their work can improve. Okay. Sure. But not drink at nights and weekends. And it's hard for me to tell in some of those scenes if they're not doing that or not. Like, just, I don't know. I think it's a cultural thing. Like, I don't know what the weekends look like for them.
Right.
But the point where I actually feel alcoholism is on the table is when they decide to up the ante and go from the 0.05 to the blackout drunk. And Mads is like, yeah, I'm not doing this. I think I'm out. I'm going to go spend time with my family. And then like he's walking out the door and he's like, all right, I got to get in on this. Like when he like consciously is like, I don't want to do this, but then can't stop himself from doing it.
Yeah.
I think prior to that, the alcoholism claim is a bit, you know.
Yeah, where all the guys are like, all right. And he walks, he's like halfway out the door and he's like, all right, well, if you're going to make me come back and do this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay.
No one says a single thing. Yeah.
We neither talked you into it, talked you out of it, but since you're back, let's drink to it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I have to say I did enjoy the ride.
I also enjoyed the ride because I didn't know where it was going to go. Like, if you accept the conceit of the movie that you want to explore what alcohol, like low level alcohol, like basically like micro dosing alcohol. Although I don't know that a 0.05 is micro dosing. Cause that's a not insignificant amount of alcohol.
No, that's a fair amount.
Yeah. So if you're like dosing,
right,
regular dosing alcoholism, medically we'll say, like, I guess there's an interesting topic there, but it just sounds like an excuse to binge drink.
Which, oddly enough, is the title of the movie in Danish. Oddly enough,
is the title of the movie. So here's the best fact about this movie. Did you read the trivia?
I did not yet. I was pulling it up earlier, okay, and then I got sidetracked.
This is my favorite bit of trivia I've ever read about any movie ever. Denmark has some of the highest rates of teenage drinking in the world. A World Health Organization report released earlier in 2020 found that Danish 15-year-olds consumed alcohol at nearly double the European average. Recent efforts to raise the minimum age for purchasing alcohol to 18 from 16 have met with resistance, in part because older adults recall their own youthful intoxications so fondly.
Wow.
That is incredible. Just because in our country, the like old people resentment of young people is so incredibly high that like even the concept of old people being like, God damn, being young and drinking was so wonderful. Why would we make this harder for young people? These are formative experiences they need to have. That is so wild to me so many levels.
Yeah. Well, like, that's what I was trying to figure out, because the opening shot of the movie is them doing the lake run drinking game.
Which sounds very fun.
Like, the rules are a little bit confusing, because we're going to carry a case of beer.
Uh-huh.
The case of beer has to be finished by the time we get around the lake, mm-hmm, except for one, which you have to finish when you get there.
Yep.
Get to the end.
I think it's one per person, isn't it?
They say it's one per is it one per person?
I think it's one per person at the end.
Okay.
Because everyone has to take one of the points, and then as a team, you got to take one at the end.
Okay. That's what I was a little confused about. And then if you vomit as a team, then you lose points. So like if one person does...
Oh, no. If you vomit as a team, you get a minute taken off your time.
Right.
That's a bonus.
You get a minute taken off your time? I thought it was added.
You get a minute
too.
Taken off your time. Only if you vomit as a team.
Wow.
If you vomit individually, you get like 2 minutes added to your time.
Holy shit.
It's elegant.
It's, you know, it's
it's poetry.
I thought it was confusing. It's actually far more elegant than the rules of Quidditch is.
I love it.
This sounds like something... You know, this sounds like something we could do at Archon.
Yeah, it does sound like something we could do at Archon. And bonus.
Run around the building.
Bonus, no transphobia.
Oh, well, there's that too.
Yep.
Yeah.
God damn it, J.K. Rowling. Fucking come on. Get your shit together.
Yeah. So, I really enjoyed the four individual men mm-hmm. and their stories. I liked how they interacted with people in different ways when they were drinking, and how you could easily see how they deluded themselves that this was making them more socially open.
Yep.
But in a lot of ways, it was turning off the people that was closest to them if they had people close to them.
Yep.
The guy with the little kids and the pissing every time was the best.
It was
very good. He's laying there and the kid's laying on his chest and you just hear the sss, and I was like, oh no. Oh no, 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 no. And the reactions of the whole family was, hey, tell me before you're going to do it. No, no, don't scream. Don't wake up mom. Just tell me before.
Mm-hmm. A lot of pissing on people in this movie.
Hey, maybe make sure he goes to the bathroom before you go to bed. What a clever idea.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I hadn't considered that.
Right.
That was not my favorite part of the movie. My favorite part of the movie was the day that they decide to do the blackout drinking.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it in Nicolaj's house. And before his wife and children leave, she is very specific that he must get her fresh cod. Fresh cod.
That was the best sequence in the movie. It was the best. Trying to get cod.
So then the blackout drunk happens. Jump cuts to the store. All of them are fucking drunk. And the guy's like, we don't have any fresh cod. We're out. Then like they knock over a bunch of stuff. Next jump cut. They're on a fucking pier trying to catch a cod. And he's like, well, I'm going to stab a lobster and use that to attract cod.
Yep. That drunk logic was so great.
I love it. It was flawless.
It was so good. Then it's like, hey, guys, we're here. And he just jumps in and starts swimming for the car. Not again.
It's weird to me, though, that so the movie's 2 hours, and I think the bad stuff only starts happening around an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Which is weird to me because I'm not quite sure what the message is there. Because it and I don't know if this is a cultural thing, but it was very confusing for me.
In what way?
Like, I guess when you get down to it, the relationship to alcohol was more complex than just it's good or bad, right? Just blanket, it's good or bad. But, you know, if this were an American story, what I would anticipate happening is that we would have fun in the beginning, things would go to shit towards the middle, and then our ultimate resolution is, well, we didn't need to drink anyway.
Yeah. The good right? time was inside us all along.
Yeah, exactly. That's the American story I would come yeah. to expect. Only, now we're going to get into the spoilers of the movie, I guess. But the dude dies, and this is the curious part of the movie for me, because the time of the death, high school exams, the funeral, and then the high school party all seem to be in the same day or over the span of 2 days.
Yeah, it's not.
They're not. There's no time passage there.
No, no, there's not.
Because he dies during the final exams.
Yeah.
And then the funeral is like the next morning. And then all the kids who pass their exams are cruising around the city.
Yeah, because they seem to go right from the funeral to the bar.
Yeah.
And that's when they see the
kids
the parade.
Partying. Yeah. It's just, and I don't know what of that is just maybe the Denmark drinking culture. Because this is interesting because I don't understand what of that story is fictionalized, right? Like if this was an American movie about a sports team, right? Like let's just say at the end of the Mighty Ducks, outside of the hockey rink, there's a small riot, a bunch of cars get tipped over and lit on fire, and there's a bunch of property damage. Culturally, I would say that is the thing that happens in this country.
Right.
So, like, that can happen. Like, that's, like, inclusion of that in the movie is a certain cultural commentary.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much of the three teachers who are still alive get fucking drunk with the students in the streets and lead to a sick Mads Mikkelsen dance scene.
That was a fantastic dance scene. It really
was. That's all him, baby.
That was really great. No. No. No
stunt double. So some of the other trivia on this is Mads Mikkelsen believes that Thomas Vinterberg only wrote that scene into the movie to see if Mads Mikkelsen could still dance.
That's fantastic.
It is wonderful. Spoiler, he can still dance. He can still fucking dance. Man is a demon.
Holy shit. The ending dance scene was shot over 2 days with Mads Mikkelsen dancing 4 or 5 hours per day.
The man is a demon.
What? That's insane.
He's a demon, and you know what? I'll just go on record right now, Tony. Just put me on record right now. I will happily accept him as my new Grindelwald.
Mm.
Because you know what that means, don't you?
No, not really.
You know, Grindelwald and Dumbledore.
Oh, that's right. That is right, yeah.
Romance.
That's right.
I would watch Mads Mikkelsen and, fuck. He was Watson in the fucking Sherlock Holmes movies. God, Jude Law. I would watch Mads Mikkelsen and Jude Law make the fuck out.
Oh, yeah.
I would watch that shit in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that's solid.
Yeah. You find it weird that when I was searching for Jude Law, and out of the entirety of his filmography, I went with him being Watson to Robert Downey Jr.'s Sherlock. Not Gattaca.
Gattaca is normally the first place I go with Jude Law.
Not the young Pope or, you know, like, because he's not Captain Marvel.
Well, there's that.
He's going to be Captain Cook in a new Peter Pan movie.
I can see it.
I guess I can see it. I mean, I guess he hasn't really disappointed me yet either. That's not true. He did disappoint me in something. What was it? Fuck, now I gotta look it up. God damn it.
What'd you think of him in AI?
I don't remember watching AI. I don't think I've ever seen it. So, no, I didn't think much of him in it.
I guess that's not what he disappointed you in. Yeah, he played Gigolo Joe. He was a sex robot.
Oh, yeah, I have seen that. Yeah, I have seen that. Oh, no. The sex robot. That's there we go. He's a sex robot. Probably the most prescient part of a future story, to be honest. Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. It's been some pretty good stuff.
I liked that movie. That was a weird little movie, but I did like it.
Oh, my God. He's been in a Jeremy Brett Sherlock Holmes episode.
Really?
Yes, sir. Shoscombe Old Place? That is an episode I have never seen before. I'll put it in the chat. I don't know.
I'm seeing it now. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for him.
God, that guy has shared a stage with Jeremy Brett. Jeremy Brett is the best Sherlock Holmes that's ever lived. I will fight anybody who says otherwise.
I keep getting distracted. One of my tabs open right now is Hulu, and I typed in Man Who Sold into my search list. So that's what's up on my screen right now. And then right in the middle of it,
is it The Man Who Sold the World?
No, is a movie called Bess of Both Worlds, BESS of Both Worlds. And the cover art for it is just distracting. I will let you pull it up and see for yourself. And it's one of those things that it's not gratuitous.
It's not.
But it's also, it's just pleasantly distracting.
That's on the Google image search, hottest historical sex scenes is one of the images.
Well then.
I guess I'll watch this.
I mean, it's on Hulu, so
I'm running out of stuff to watch.
I am just about done with Lodge 49.
Is that something I should watch?
Yeah, I would say yes. It's very different. It's a It stars Wyatt Russell.
Wyatt Russell.
Yeah. He plays a...
not America's Ass.
No, it's not. He plays an ex-surfer who is an ex-surfer because when he was in Nicaragua. On a surfing expedition, he got bit by a snake and almost died.
That happens.
So he's like this hippie surfer, stoner, not stoner, just a happy-go-lucky good guy. Very much a Kurt Russell kind of character. Like, you could see a lot of his dad in him when he's playing this character.
Oh, my God. His dad is Kurt Russell.
Well, yeah. And his mom is Goldie Hawn.
Fuck me.
You couldn't see that in his face? Holy shit.
Now that you've said it, I can't not see it.
Right?
Fuck me.
The scene, the first scene you see in the second episode where he's in the locker room with his wife. God, that's like, damn. It is all Kurt Russell. Like,
God,
it is. That's all you could. That's all I can see looking at him in that scene.
Oh God. All I see is, oh, you know what that means?
Yeah. His dad is a celestial.
No, fuck that. I don't care about that. That means we could realistically get another Snake Plissken movie.
Yeah, we could.
We could realistically do it. Oh, God, if Snake Plissken had a kid and we did like an old Snake Plissken and like an
that would be delicious.
Escape from the parenthood. Like,
that God would be amazing. That would be an amazing film.
Hollywood!
We'll make that as soon as we're done with the Punch-Out movie.
Punch-Out movie. Fuck me. Yeah.
So he plays this hippie kind of guy who everything's just, it'll be fine. Everything will work out. You know, he's just got this super positive attitude. His twin sister is 100% the opposite.
Sure, yeah. It's like an odd couple situation.
Kind of. Mm-hmm. His dad died shortly after he came back and came back from the Nicaragua trip. They owned this pool store together. Like it was a Dudley and Son pool shop. The sister was off doing great things. She was really smart, well-educated. She was doing great things. Dad convinces her to take out a loan with him. Then dad just vanishes off the face of the earth.
Never go into business with your family.
So she's stuck with an $80,000 loan that she can't pay off. And Dud, short for the last name Dudley, he's just, you know, making his way any way he can. He finds this ring. He takes it to his pawnbroker / signature loan guy. The guy's like, yeah, hey, this is worthless, but it's for the lodge, that the Lynx Lodge. He's like, where is that? He's like, it's over on this street. And he's like, I've lived here in this town my whole life. I've literally never seen this place. Later that day, he's driving his car. His car runs out of gas right in front of the place. So he walks in and is like, that's the lodge. And then he meets this like weird group of people who live there. And like, there's this storyline where this apothecary / dispensary owner believes that there are scrolls within the lodge that will teach him alchemy so he can turn things to gold. Yeah. It gets really crazy, really fucking quick. It's, I really like it. Like it's just bizarre. And it's bizarre in just a lot of really fun ways. And Dud is just such a cheerful character. Like, bad shit happens to him and he's like, hey, whatever, you know, it's fine. He starts dating this woman. She's like, and his buddy's like, hey, she's ancient. He's like, no, she's not. How old is she? I don't know. And she's clearly at least a good 10 years older than he is.
That's America's Ass.
Yep. It's good. I recommend it.
Well, I'll add it to my list so I can stop rewatching a bunch of shit I've already watched.
It's not going to take too much of your time. It's two seasons, 10 episodes apiece.
Oh, is it finished too?
It's done. It's on Hulu. I have like two, three more episodes left. If it does not stick the landing, like if it botches the landing completely, I will let you know beforehand. Okay. So I just haven't got that far yet.
I probably won't watch it tonight. I have gotten myself into this deep well of Until We Die, which is like do you ever play any of the Kingdom games? The side-scrolling pixel art games?
I played side-scrollers, but...
Yeah, but like basically in Kingdom, you're a princess on a horse, and like the game starts in the middle here, and then you can go left or right. Sure. And you can't personally do anything, but like you come across these little points of interest or whatever, and you can like command people to follow you, and then you tell them to do stuff at the points of interest. Gotcha. And like you build like walls and defenses out to the left and right, and then like things come in and attack you. So it's kind of like that, just in this deep well of it right now. There's only one fucking level. There's only one level, but there's multiple difficulties, and I can't beat the second difficult. It's just very deep in it right now.
I've been playing some Slay the Spire. I did pick it up on my phone.
It's good, isn't it?
It is. I'm enjoying it.
I finally beat the final boss with the Ironclad. So now I've beaten it with all three of the main characters, finally.
Nice.
What I like about Slay the Spire is that the goal is to cheese your deck. Like, you're trying to find the exploits. Like, you're trying to get the exploits. That's what I like about the game. Like, that's the intent. Like, because, like, you know, when you play the multiplayer games and you cheese other people, it doesn't really feel fun.
Right.
But if I'm cheesing the computer, it does feel a lot of fun.
Right, yeah. It's like, oh, this seems like I just did 150 points of damage in that last play of five cards.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try and do that again.
Yeah. Like, I finally ended up beating it with, there's like a card that does damage when you draw a status card.
Yes.
And then there's a card that will draw additional cards when you draw a status card.
Oh.
So I stacked a bunch of those damage dealing and then that thing. So basically, every time I did an attack, I would generate a status card, which would then do 40 damage and also draw two additional cards, most of which would probably be status damage, which would draw additional cards out of us. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. I was playing with, is it the Silent? The one Green. That... Is that the one that...
the poisons and the shivs?
I think so. I know. It's the one that does the stances. Whichever one that is.
That is purple. I actually don't know what that name is.
Yeah. Okay. So it was that one. And I only was playing it because that was the one that was open on a daily challenge. Because I haven't earned that one yet in the game. So I'm playing with it. Like, I just start cascading my stance changes. So I'm just like rolling through the stance changes and just doing devastating effects. That's like,
once you get that deck singing, oh, it is such a good feeling.
get a bunch of block, and then there's a card that do damage, like do three damage per block you have. Also, there's another card that's if it does damage, whatever damage it does, it adds that much block to your holy shit. Like, it was just ridiculous. There's the one monster that you come across where it's like it has 999
health,
but it will die in five rounds.
Mm-hmm.
But every time you hit it, it takes away the damage it does, but adds to the damage it will do next time. By the time I was at the fifth round, it would have done, like, if I would just let it hit me, it would have done like 300 points of damage. Nothing got through. I was hitting that thing so goddamn hard. It was ridiculous.
I did see you had an achievement that I did not have. It was like an infinite deck where you played 25 some odd cards.
Yeah.
I've never played that. I've never got that.
Yeah, I can't even remember. Like, I think it was in that sequence, because it was just like, I just kept playing cards and drawing cards and playing cards. And it was like every time you get a certain type of card, draw another card. And I kept getting these curses, and I was to the point like I just didn't even pay attention to the curses. Because I also, like, in that sequence, I became a vampire.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so every bite is healing. And also, I had a card that if I use this card and kill something, it adds to my max HP. Like, I played one the other day. My HP was at like 140 by the end of the game. It was just like, it just kept adding to my max HP. Yeah. I really like it, because at first I was trying to avoid the curses. Now it's like, they're not so bad.
Yeah, you just got to know how to... Yeah, because the deck I built, it was you do damage every time we draw a curse. So I was like, fuck it. Whatever.
Yep.
Get it in there. Oh, this one does HP damage? All right, well, I've got a card that gives me strength for every time I lose HP from a card. So just add it to the pile.
Yep.
And then that vampire bite stuff is good. Good stuff.
Yeah, I do like that. It's fun. It's just a fun game all around. I'm having a good time with it.
Worth the $20 or whatever it is. Yeah.
I paid $10 for it on my phone, but the other version of it I got from a Humble Bundle.
Oh, even better.
Yeah. So I don't even remember what I paid for that, because that was like part of a 5-game Humble Games pack. That's why you were like, oh, it's this. And I looked at it. It was like, oh, it's Humble Games. Huh, I wonder if I've got that. And I had already had it installed.
Sure enough,
it's sitting on my machine already installed.
Yeah, no, it's a clever deck builder adventure game. Like, I've got a couple other deck builders, but I don't feel like they are as refined.
Yeah, I really enjoy deck builders. And this one scratches that itch in a good way, because it's a deck builder that I don't feel like I'm competing with other people for the cards I'm getting.
Yeah.
Like, I like the mechanic of how you get the cards. But also, yeah, you can totally cheese up the combos there and just do some crazy things, and you don't have to feel bad about it at all.
Yep.
Because at the same time, the game does it right back to you.
Yep.
So it doesn't feel, and I don't feel bad about it when the game does it to me. It's just, because
I know you got
me first.
Yeah, like I know it's a thing that can happen.
Yep.
So like, we've all kind of established the rules of engagement. I just haven't prepared for this.
The only thing that I was really annoyed about the first time it happened to me was that first time I got to the last boss and I beat it down, and then it resurrected with all its hit points again. It's like, goddamn it, because like I did everything I could, blew out all my potions. Like, I was like, I'm going to kill this motherfucker, and I'm going to kill him dead. And I did. And I had like 15 hit points left, and all of a sudden he's back at 300. And I was like,
son of a bitch.
Well, I guess I am not going to win this fight. And not realizing that that's literally the last fight of the game. Like, I had no idea. So at that point, when I did it the next time and beat him, I'm like, yeah, what's... Oh.
The heart.
That's the game. That's the end of the game. Retroactively, I didn't feel as bad about dying at that point, you know?
Well, Tony, is that the end of the game?
Well, it was the end of what it let me play for that deck. It was the end of that round, that hand. And I also like the speed the game plays. And if I can see, like, sometimes you can tell, it's like, oh, this is not going to go well. I'm not going to live too much longer. So I'm going to start doing some crazy shit.
Yeah, like, experimentation is a good.
I can see that I'm not going to make it through, you know, the second sequence. So let's just see how far I can get. Let's do some crazy shit.
Yeah, like, the experimentation is fun.
Yeah, it is.
Because I was complaining to my brothers, who were all really into it, that like I had a real easy time beating the final boss and then the final boss with the defect and the silent, because they have a lot of like passive abilities you can stack that the ironclad just doesn't have. And so they were like, well, you should try this build or this build or this build. So there's like a lot of nifty things. There's like a lot of different ways you can build things to do that stuff.
Yeah.
Which is like really satisfying that I've got like a lot of options. And the way that they randomize the relics and the cards, like, makes it feel that there's a lot of depth to the game that, you know, maybe artificial, maybe not. Right.
Right.
Like, there's no one true path, and no. It's randomized, so you have best decisions you can make, but also...
Also, there's enough going on in the game that, yeah, it looks like I am not going to make it two more fights. Like, mm-hmm. my hit points are that low, and things are going bad, and it looks like I'm facing three more elites on the path I'm on. There's, you know, there's no getting around it. And all of a sudden, the first one you beat drops an amazing relic and an amazing potion, and then also you get a card that works in conjunction with all that. Like, there was a relic that I got that gave me two more potion slots. Then there's the potion that refills all your potion slots. So it's like I went from, you know, nothing to five potions, and it's like the game just turned around.
Yeah. And some of the potions are like, restore 20% of your health.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's significant.
Yeah, it is.
That's a rest.
Add a couple of strength, which can make all the difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a fun one. That would be, I don't know. Part of me would like there to be a way to take two characters just into like an arena mode and play against another person. Yeah. Just to see
a mod for that.
Is there? Because that would be kind of fun just to play one on one.
Yep. Or you construct like Magic style. You construct
a deck. Cause I like how the cards self modify. Like, you get strength, so here's the new damage you're doing. You get vulnerability, so here's the new damage you're doing, or here's the new damage that you're going to do.
Yeah, that's one of the things I really love about it, that there is no... My brother is really big into this idea that you can't have a competitive game that has random in it.
What?
Because it's not a competitive game then. Because as soon as you introduce an element of random, the game, the skill of both players doesn't matter equally. And he actually even extrapolates that out to chess. Like, he goes as so far as to chess that the random is who goes first. That's a bit much for me.
That, yeah.
But, you know, Slay the Spire in a lot of ways does and does not hit that, right? Like, a lot of the logistical stuff is very explicit. You know, they are going to, this is what the enemy is going to do. This is how much it's going to be.
Yeah.
So you know.
You know exactly.
And your hand is random, but, you know, your hand is random, but you can see what your draw pile is at any time.
Right. You can see what your draw pile is. You can see what your discard pile is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's not...
I don't necessarily agree with him about the random thing, but I have a lot of philosophical disagreements with random as a concept in general.
Yeah. I mean, because you could also make the argument that if it's a computer game, it's not truly random because it's seeded. And if you know the seed, then you know the sequence.
Like, arguably, random doesn't exist as a concept.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Yeah.
Like, no true random ever existed, ever. It's just you don't know all the factors that do the whatever. Anyway, that's a long...
Yeah, that's a different discussion.
That's a long argument.
I need more to drink before we have that talk.
Yeah. Well, Tony, I've continued to drink since I got home.
I've been drinking the whole time, but it's just water.
Just I also got that, because I know that the heartburn is going to strike fear into my heart later.
Yeah, strike fear and acid.
Yeah. Although I didn't sleep very well last night, so I'm kind of hoping to ride that lightning. Yeah. I could not sleep last night. I went to go sleep on my couch just for a change of pace from my bed. Woke up and, like, my butt hurt. Like, the glutes, like, just, like, the right side glute just hurt, like, and my upper thigh, like, I'd been doing like Spartan kicks all night, like or something. I have no idea what the fuck was going on. But that's not what my couch is about. My couch isn't a Persian invasion of Greece.
It's because you, the reason you couldn't sleep is the anticipation of getting all your loot from all those sick deals from Prime Day.
So here's the thing, Tony. I got a confession to make. I spent about $400 on Prime Day.
That's all?
Yeah.
A lot more than that was spent in this household.
Really?
A considerable amount more.
Holy shit, Tony.
Well, I have a new smartwatch.
Okay.
though
already?
Yeah, it came to this afternoon. Yeah.
They did tell me all my shit was going to arrive today, too.
We're not getting some of it until the beginning of July, but that's fine. No, one thing about like most of the stuff we got, with the exception of my smartwatch and the pound bag of orange Pez that I bought for myself, which wasn't a Prime Day special. I just I just started searching. I just fell into the
man knows how to treat himself.
I just fell into the rabbit hole and I was like, huh, I wonder if I can buy single color Pez. Turns out you can. You can buy it by the pound and it's $10 a pound, which actually is not too bad. I think that also depended on what flavor it was, because some of them were more expensive.
Wait, what flavor did you get?
Orange. Yeah. But like there's apparently a chocolate flavor that's much more expensive. Regardless, most of our purchases were because Holden, for his graduation, like our initial thought was, well, if people want to give you something, most people are just going to give you money. That's a graduation thing. That's just very common.
Yeah. And then, oh no, I remember giving him money. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. So some people were like, well, what would he want?
It's like, that's not the way to do it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is you have a dorm room. You're going to need to buy things for your dorm room. Yeah. So let's make an Amazon wish list of things for your dorm room.
Yep.
And then we'll point people to that. And a number of people bought stuff for him from it.
That's a,
which is fantastic. Damn,
Tony, you're doing shit right over there.
So here's point number two. By the way, this list that you now have, any money you get, you can buy the rest of your list.
Yeah, you got to finish the list.
Yeah, so that we don't have to pay for it.
Yeah. Hey,
so
guess what? You're an adult now.
Yeah. Yeah, so on top of that, Julie and I decided we were going to get him a laptop for graduation. Like, he's been using a Chromebook. We got each of them Chromebooks like 3 years.
College.
You can't. It's also a three and a half year old Chromebook. That honestly, we didn't think we were going to make it through from March to May of last year when they were remote learning, and then it lasted a whole nother school year. So we're like, you know what? Mm-hmm. You need a decent machine.
Yeah.
You need something that it's at least decent.
You need a college machine.
So we were doing the Amazon Prime Day shopping stuff, and I was like, let's look. And then because I've been advertised to in my life, remembered that just because Amazon has a Prime Day, other people try to compete with Amazon having Prime Day. And I got them a laptop from Best Buy. So we already have that. And because
gotta beat that shipping from Amazon too.
Nothing.
Gotta stay competitive.
Well, we just picked it up.
So, oh yeah. I guess that's a good point. I mean,
just went and picked it up. But also because, you know, normally I don't buy the protection plan on stuff like that just because I'm really careful with my shit.
Uh-huh. But
I know how to maintain it.
This is also not your shit.
Plus, I know how to maintain it. This one's not mine. This one's going to be carried around at school.
How many phones has he been through again?
It's been
protection plan's not a waste of money.
It's
not. Usually it's a waste of money.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. I told him, we have paid for this computer for you. Mm-hmm. It's probably a good idea for you to buy the protection plan for this.
God damn, Tony, that is.
So he's like, we looked at it. We did the research. He's like, $200 for 3 years. Okay.
And I assume his college town probably has a Best Buy accessible.
I don't know. I haven't looked.
I mean, they're
but there there can't be one too far away.
Yeah. So
I mean, plus Best Buy. I mean, it's fine. Yeah, we can ship it around or fuck, it's 3 hours. You know.
Yeah.
One weekend we'll get it taken care of.
It's also just one less fucking hassle while you're at college, right? Like, oh shit, I spilled beer in my laptop. I guess I'll just have to ship this. Like, it's inconvenient, but also, you know.
Yeah. As long as you don't get drunk and piss in your laptop, you're fine.
Do they not cover that?
Nope. They don't cover human or animal bodily fluids. Human or animal bodily fluids.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't realize there were going to be an explicit exclusion.
Yep. It didn't say you couldn't. Yeah, it didn't say anything about spilling liquid on it. It was bodily fluids.
Huh.
Yep. But at this point, he pretty much has everything from his list.
I mean, that's kind of
on its way. Yep. Party, right? Yep. That was.
What are you going to do that second week when the house is quiet?
I don't know.
Like, a lot of the volume of that house is going to go away.
Oh, like, so a week or two ago, like, I just kind of did a temperature check with Aaron. I was like, so what are you feeling about Holden going away to school?
That was literally going to be my next question. And because you know how Aaron is my favorite mast.
I know. And the answer was, well, it's sure going to be a lot quieter around here. She's like, you know, I'm happy for him. I'm a little bit sad, but mostly it's going to be quieter around here.
Aaron is a lady who appreciates her quiet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100. She's currently making her way through Lucifer, the TV series.
That chick's going to be writing some slash fic, Tony.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, you're probably not going to see it, but she's definitely writing it.
Or drawing it.
Ooh.
She's probably drawing it. Yeah.
Very well, too. Very, very well.
Oh. It was funny this weekend. She showed me a drawing, and it's like this humanoid. Like, it's very much a person, but they had, like, antlers. And, like, sitting in this, like, woodland-type scene, playing... it was supposed to be a ukulele, but it was bigger. She's like, I was like, man, that's really great. And then a few minutes later, I was like, so what are you still doing on? She's like, I'm trying to fix this hand. There's something about it that's not right. And I'm looking at the hand, and the hand is like on the guitar, and the thumb is here. It's like, the hand's upside down. She looked at it, she goes, oh. That's what the problem is. Like, she couldn't see what the problem was, and then I pointed it out, and that's all you could see. Didn't take long, and she got that fixture right up. But yeah, the artwork is going to be spectacular. Yeah. She's in an art camp this week.
So Anna was telling me about there was some online art program that she'd heard about or was listening to. Like, she'd got whatever, like, you know, she got marketed to, and it was here's something fun you can do with your kids. And she's like, I was really excited to do it, except, you know, I'm a 40-year-old woman. You can't just sign up for those things without it being, you know, weird. And I was like, why don't you just check in with Aaron? Like, I'm sure, like, Aaron is all about that shit. And she's like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Do you think she would do it? I'm like, I don't know. It's artsy. Like,
was it like 2 years ago? Literally, her and Kayla did something like that. Like, it was like she was wanting to do something. It was something Harry Potter themed, and was like, ask Kayla. And she's like, really? I was like, Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Sure enough, they went together and had a great time. Uh-huh. I mean, that's what it's all about. Just go and have a good time.
Exploit my youth.
Yeah, especially if something like that comes up when Holden's out of the house, we get a free house for a couple hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so weird now because there are opportunities where I'm like, I'm in this house completely alone and will be for another 2 hours. Like, it's just, after the last year, that's just very, very strange.
I mean, it's not like that wasn't common before. No.
Before.
It's not like that was common before, too, because, like, you know, there's three other people living in the house.
Yeah, but there were always situations where something would happen. Like,
sure.
Like, Julie and Aaron would go to the craft show while Holden's at work. There it is. I mean, that would happen. Or it's a weekend day and something's going on. It's an afternoon. And when the kids were in voice lessons prior to all this, one of us would have the house to themselves because one adult was taking the two kids to voice lessons. They'd have them back to back. So like, we're gone for an hour and a half. That's just once a week that happened. So like it happened a lot more before. Like, they don't even leave the house for voice lessons right now. They're still doing them on Zoom just because it's easier.
That's got to be a goddamn nightmare. Voice lessons on Zoom.
Yeah, he really wants them to get him back, like, in person.
I bet, man. It's hard to do that. It's hard to do that kind of stuff on Zoom.
Yeah. It's a lot easier than them trying to do choir classes on Zoom.
Oh, that has to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
100. That was a nightmare. Cause I talked to the teacher and it was a nightmare. Yeah. Of all classes, that one had to be one of the worst.
I don't even know how you do that. Mm-mm. Like, I'm sure it can be done. I'm sure, you know, like, these teachers know their goddamn business by now, at least.
Yeah.
Probably before, like, way before, but that just seems like a nightmare, like a logistical nightmare.
Yeah.
Is the only, you know, part of anything I ever consider, just in general.
So anything else about the movie?
The ending was fucking weird to me.
What about it was weird to you?
It went from a funeral to very happy on a goddamn dime.
Yeah, it did.
Tony, I have to pee. I gotta pee so bad, Tony. I have to pee so bad. I can't. It hurts, Tony. It hurts.
And the old days of podcasting when you were drinking come back to haunt you. The ending did change very quickly. And I found myself legitimately laughing, like not laughing, but happy. With him and for him when he was texting with his wife and she's like, yeah, I miss you too a lot. I did dig how like their whole relationship played out where she's like, yeah, you're just being a drunk with your buddies. And he's like, yeah, but like, have you been seeing someone else? And then she just doesn't answer. And it's like, holy shit. I did not expect it to go there when it like when that first time they have the conversation about it, like that surprised me that it went there.
So that conversation was wild.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, because I was also surprised by where that went. And I don't feel like I was surprised because it went in a direction that wasn't forecasted.
Right.
Right? Because what did make me nervous is when they're on the camping trip and they're boning, and immediately after they finish boning, she starts crying, and I was like, oh, fuck. Jesus Christ, where's this going?
Yeah.
And he's like, are you crying? And she's like, yeah, I've just missed you. And I was like, oh, fuck. All right. Well, this story feels like it could have gotten real fucking dark here. But we dodged this bullet.
Yeah. No, we just killed the guy later.
Yeah. Yeah. No. But the later thing where she's like, we're just going out. You know, I'm tired of waiting for you. And he's like, well, I don't feel like you have to fucking wait for me.
Yeah.
Just feels very, I don't know, it felt very solid.
The stories all felt lived in mm-hmm. and real. Yeah. And like, for I think that the big difference about this movie being a Danish movie and an American movie is this would have been played as a comedy. It would have been played as, it could have gone either way. It could have either gone as a full up straight comedy where we all learn a lesson and we're going to be better and be better people. And the friendship, you know, and social acceptance was within us all along. We didn't need alcohol to do that. And everybody's happy at the end. Or it's going to be a straight up drama where everybody ends up in rehab and marriages are breaking up. And this movie split the difference of those two and did it better.
Yeah.
Than either way. Than like, because it wasn't so dour and dark the whole time. Like, and then there's like, these adults are making really terrible decisions frequently because of the alcohol that they didn't, they showed you the consequences of the bad decisions they made from being drunk, but they didn't beat you over the head with any of them.
Yeah.
Like, there could have been an interesting scene where they meet up at the diner to have lunch. And he just wants to tell her that he misses her and, you know, he doesn't care about anything else. And she's like, hey, I thought we were planning the two birthdays. Are we going to talk about these two birthdays? If not, I'm out.
I'm fucking out. Yeah. That shit was solid, man.
But that wasn't even the best part of that scene. The best part of that scene is that she orders the wine and she's drinking. Like, and it's like, he's not.
He's having a beer.
Oh, that's right. At first it didn't look like he was. You're right. You're right. Because at first it didn't look like he was, then he drank the beer.
Yeah, because I forgot about that. I was looking for that too.
I did.
I thought he wasn't drinking in the beginning. Yeah.
You're right.
You're right. Because I thought the same thing. I was like, he's not drinking. This is a solid commentary. And then he was drinking.
Then he was drinking.
And I was like, okay, this scene is not as.
And she was also, and she knows that part of his problem is that he's drinking, but she has no problem sitting down and ordering a drink. Like, that was a power move on her part.
Yep.
And they didn't use that as part of the discussion. They just let it sit there.
Yeah, they just let it on the screen. They just let it bubble.
The movie, this movie had a lot of things that just laid there on the screen that let you realize how bad these decisions were, even though they appeared good in the moment to the people who are making the decision.
Yeah, there were a lot of things that were included that felt in a way that I usually dislike to be dead weight.
Okay.
Right? Like that scene felt like the drinks in that scene felt like a flopper. Like it was just something that didn't need to happen, but it added a good ambiance. The dog, I really liked the addition of the dog.
Because yeah. Because
Tommy needed something. Tommy needed
multiple. A responsibility.
He needed multiple things so you couldn't just write him off.
Yeah.
The dog, the fucking kid.
Specs.
That shit was good.
That was wonderful. Like
that shit was good.
And his relationship with Specs was so good.
It was so good. And that fucking scene where Specs puts the flower on his coffin and then they start singing.
I got choked up. That was good.
Yeah, it was good, and it earned it.
Yes.
Like I was watching it and I was like, I've been with Specs for a while now. Like, I don't even know his name, but I feel like I know Specs.
I have held his hand through the soccer game. Yeah. I know.
Anna came over like, maybe 2/3 of the movie, and she's like, oh, let's just finish it. And I was like, I hate everything about the way you consume media. But we did, and I'm like, Specs is definitely going to grow up to be a serial killer.
Or a bartender.
Because he got the confidence from his soccer coach. But I love that Spec shit, man. That Spec shit was really good.
I did
like
too.
That
and the kid who is on his second round of year of high school or whatever the grading system is like that kid who
B+.
Yeah, I gotta get through this. I wanna go to med school, but like, I'm going to, I don't want to, I can't do this again. I can't I can't be held back another year. Like, I got to get through this. Like the very real problems that these kids were facing that were age appropriate.
Yeah.
And like, and how they're, and how they're, these adult men are trying to face these problems. His answer was like, hey, have a drink.
Uh-huh.
Like, which is,
that's like, you know, Anna was not exactly as,
I can imagine she was not,
not exactly as on board with that behavior. But then she's like, oh, you should read some Kierkegaard. I think you'd really be into the anxiety angle of it. I'm like, oh, you're a fucking nerd.
Yeah. The darkness and anxiety that was just over this, just lay over this movie like a blanket was all over. Like, there was a lot of there, even for the comedy, there did seem to be this creeping doom about it. And it was mostly from that principal. When she has that meeting with the teachers and she's like, all right, so
that's the first
scene. Some of y'all have been drunk.
That's the first scene Anna sat down and we watched.
Oh boy.
Yeah. When Tommy comes in, he's stumbling, he's like, we've heard reports that some teachers are coming to school drunk. And then Tommy stumbles in drunk as a fucking skunk.
And like thinking that he's just dancing right through it. Yeah. All, hey guys,
we've all been there. We all think we're passing. We're not.
Nope. Yeah. Between Tommy and then Mads when he's in the teacher's lounge and like dancing around and running into everybody and just walks into the door. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was like, oh man, that feels like Friday night at Archon.
Yeah, like, I don't like this beer.
I clearly know what I'm doing until I've walked for the last 15 feet with one shoulder on the wall. Maybe I don't know as much about what I think I know. What kind of beer is that you don't like?
It's a Shock Top Belgian White. I wish I was not drinking it. But my beer options are light.
Shock Top. That's a. Is that the one where everybody's trying to jam an orange into it? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, most of the time it's good, but the Belgian white is not good.
Just
a couple of years ago, they had a an orange. I think it might also have been a blood orange beer. Was it? No, it was a summer apple. But they haven't, like, it was a Honeycrisp variety, but they haven't had it since then. It was so good. I drank. That's the only thing I drank that summer. I don't know why they haven't had it since.
I found a pear cider.
Go on.
Oh, it was so good. I can't remember the name of it now.
What kind of pear? Was it Bartlett? Or...
I just pear. It didn't say. It was just a pear cider, but it was fantastic.
Maybe a Basque.
Perhaps.
No, I like my produce.
I know. You have a long sordid history with you and your produce.
I do. God, I do.
All right. Yeah, I think I hit the points that I wanted to hit about the movie.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Ooh, did you read? You didn't read the trivia.
I read just a little bit of it.
Did you read the dark ass trivia about the movie?
Which of it?
Well, the movie was dedicated to Ida.
I saw that.
So, in the original vision for the movie, Vinterberg was like, well, Martin's going to have two kids, a son and a daughter. And his daughter was going to be played by Vinterberg's daughter, Ida. Only she died right before filming, like 6 days into filming or something like that.
Jesus.
Yeah. Because, well, apparently she was part of the impetus.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, because she was like creative contributor on the youth perspective on alcohol usage in Denmark.
Wow.
So that's dark.
Yeah. Instead of having two sons, the character played by Mads Mikkelsen was originally meant to have a son and a daughter. The latter played by the director Thomas Vinterberg's daughter, Ida Maria Vinterberg. However, Ida was killed in a car crash in Belgium 4 days into filming before she was planned to film her scenes. Oof. Jesus. I can't even imagine, like, functioning through that. She was 19 years old.
Yeah. Zack Snyder had to bow out of Justice League when his daughter committed suicide.
Yeah.
That's just fucking, that's intense, man. That is intense.
Yes, it is.
Well, on that,
I did like how Mads became so much more an effective teacher. Like, I really did appreciate that because you could see, like, just how checked out and worthless he was before he started drinking. Mm-hmm. And, like, when he was at that 0.05 level, like, he just was more fun. He was more loose and relaxed.
Yeah.
And, like, I like how they showed that to really open up the exploration so that it's like, look, hey, look at how much better I am. Look at how much better things are, how great I'm doing. And then, like, you can see how, wow, being that great, a little more has got to be better. And it wasn't. I did like the title cards with the alcohol contents and how, like, they would show it and then start ticking up.
Yeah, me too.
That was good. That was really good.
I like that too.
All right. I think that's all I got for tonight.
Yeah, me too.
All right. So next week we will talk about the United States versus Billie Holiday. It is available on Hulu.
That's what I've heard from a very reliable source, Tony Master.
It's-a me,
Tony Master.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Awesome.
See you next week.